big and strong. He goes to work each day and he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile, when he says to me, "How's my child?" I said that I've been studying hard all day in school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color him love.
Color him love.
Then I'm gonna color him father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color the man love. Yes, I will.
Color him father.
He says education is the thing if you want to compete, because without it, son, life ain't very sweet. I love this man and I don't know why, except I'll need his strength until the day that I die. My mother loves him and I can tell by the way she looks at him when he holds my little sister Nell. I heard her say just the other day that if it hadn't have been for him, she couldn't have found her way. I think I'll color him father.
Color him father.
I'm gonna color him love. Got to color him father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color this man love.
Color him love.
Our real old man, he got killed in the war, and she knows she and seven kids couldn't have gotten very far. She says she thought that she could never love again, and then there he stood with that big wide grin. He married my mother and he took us in, and now we belong to the man with that big wide grin. I've got to color this man father.
Color him father.
I'm gonna color him love.
Color him love.
I've got to color him father.
Color him father.
I believe I'll color this man love.
Color him love.
He's just been so good to me.
Color him father.
I know I've got to color him love.
Hey, I love that song. I think that we are going to play it again. It went off so fast. Put my play it again. One moment. There it goes. Hello, everybody. In 1 minute, well, I saw it now. Yeah, I lost it. Bring back the family. Bring back the family. Let me see. Trying to get this song together. Where did it go? Mary calling him Father. That's a good song. You know, so fast, man. Play it again, fam. Okay, here we go. It just disappeared on me. Let me see. Stand by, stand by. Second, 2, 9, 8, 7. Okay, long song. Okay. This Father's Day, you have that, that perfect Father's Day song, and it was just getting off. Okay, here we go. Okay, that song, well, it played, so, all right, welcome. The song was Color Him Father, and it played and it played so fast. I was trying to play it again for the listeners, and it just would not come up. So, hey, Color Him Father. I'm sure everybody heard that song by the Winstons. So happy Father's Day to all the fathers all around this beautiful world. And just welcome. Welcome to Bring Back the Family. Focus on the youth. I am Kathy Clyburn, your host for Bring Back the Family. And I am just happy and excited that you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family, Focus on the Youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. The children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Okay? Whose responsibility is it? It says, no more backwards thinking, time for thinking ahead. And it encourages all people to do better because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. Who is responsible and who is willing to take the responsibility in making this world a better place? Okay, listen. We missed the step. First, we usually start off with our scripture. In our prayer, and we have our scripture by Miss Jacqueline Vandegrift, part of our host. And our host, let me introduce them right quick. We have Jacqueline Vandegrift, we have Rebecca Johnson, we have Callie Pierce, and we have our very own Pastor O to bring up the rear from Runner for Christ Ministries. We have our young youth, Shania Cox and Jacob Ritron as our youth co-host. And so we're going to have right now Jacqueline Vandegrift to give us our scripture.
Well, welcome again, everyone. I'm reading Romans 12, 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privileges and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving generously, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confidence, patient in trouble, and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Jackie. That was lovely. I'm Sister Rebecca Johnson, and I'm honored for the opportunity to open us up in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we thank you for waking us up again, for giving us new chances to make improvements. Thank you for your mercy and power and patience. Thank you for answered prayers, for blessings we have already received and blessings we haven't received yet. We thank you for Sister Kathy, for Pastor O, for Sister Jackie, for Sister Callie, for Shania and Jacob, and everyone who will participate, and for every person listening to Bring Back the Family tonight. Thank you for purpose and for problems that make us stronger. Thank you, Lord, that you know all things and that you care for and guide us. We thank you for a celebration of every father, and we ask for a great restoration of the family with the father at the head of the house, divinely positioned under you, our Heavenly Father, as it was in the beginning. We ask that you give each of us the wisdom to do the thing you put us here to do in a way that pleases you. We ask for these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It is Pre-Father's Day, and we this is a tribute to fathers all around the world. So like I said earlier, the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. And so whose responsibility is it? No more backwards thinking times of thinking ahead. And it encourages all people to do better because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. And who's responsible and who is willing to sacrifice and take the responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get busy and just get to it? It's calling for reform, change, awareness, hope, and accountability. Who's going to be responsible? Whose responsibility is it? What are we going to do to make up in our minds? Are we willing? Are we willing to get busy with the challenges, the changes, the support, and sacrifice, and just meeting people where they are in order to make a difference in this world? Who is willing? Let me tell you about Bring Back the Family. Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we as parents and community need to do for our youth, kids, our children, educationally, professionally, and spiritually. Being totally in tune and involved in every aspect of their learning in life in order for our youth to be good, productive citizens so that they are able to contribute and be a contribution positively to society and others all around the world, wherever they go, okay? Who's going to be in charge of the next chapter of passing the torch and running the race, doing great things because we prepared them? We can do this. Our parents did it for us. They were focused and spent time, quality time, so that we would not be a nuisance to the community and a burden to others. As young people, just picture, you know, not being a nuisance and not having to worry about your children, your young adults going out in the community, in the world, terrorizing and making a bad name for themselves and their family. If we put that time in and give them what they need to make it, and it's our responsibility as a community to do that. So what do we propose to do? What do Bring Back the Families propose to do? We propose that we do this block by block. Do something for the youth on your block. We were given what we needed to make it, so we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it. Okay, so we propose to, you know, just do something on your block to share, care, just that plain old reaching back and giving, sharing, caring, love, being a positive role model, a good example that our youth can see, learn, and live by. It's just sharing, just giving, just old fashioned love, books, workbooks, outings, field trips, career fairs, just world things, just taking them on outings, socialization, giving them a hug, giving them some positive affirmations, positive conversation. Just conversating with our kids, just letting them know that we care about them, that we care, and that we don't mind sharing with them. We want the best for them. So you get the picture. So block by block, do something on your block. I got my block, Cat's Kids, and we do a lot of things on our block. We go places. We golf. We go golfing. They're involved in golf. They have we have a book club that we're involved in. It's about 9 to 12 kids that we go and once a week to a book club and read books. Do a career fair on your block, because our kids need to know that all of these careers that's out here that's afforded to them now that were not afforded to them before are available for them now that they have, but we have to train them and make sure that they're ready for these careers. You know, we hear a lot about our kids now and us not being prepared and not wanting to work, but a lot of times we take what we have and we don't share it and pass it down to the next generation so that they can learn how to be good, productive citizens, good workers like us. And so that's what Bring Back the Family is about, and it's about the youth. We're all concerned about the youth. We all have youth in our mix. We all have children, you know, that are youth. And they're our children, and we want the best for them. And not just our kids, we want the best for all kids. And so I like to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers all around this world. I just want to give a scripture. It says when the Father blesses you, you will see it being passed on to generations. The Holy Spirit says if you have the blessings of your Father, even your children and children and children's children will be filled by the Lord. Okay? Hebrews 11, 20, 21, by faith. The father of a righteous son will rejoice greatly, and one who fathers a wise son will delight in him. And so the role of a father originated with God himself, our heavenly Father, and as a divine role and calling. Becoming a father, stepfather, grandfather, foster parent, foster father is an opportunity to become like God, to love and care for children as God loves and cares for us. And that's how we're supposed to care for our children. Man, and I'd just like to give a shout out to my own dad, real man, real father. That was a real man. And so a tribute to Father's Day, Happy Father's Day to our dads all around the world. We recognize you and we appreciate you that you are real men and real fathers. We're going to shout out to our fathers if you want to do that today. Talk about fathers and discuss what it all means to the family. We have a special guest today that's going to come with us and talk to us, about family, because that's what it's all about, fathering and family all goes together. And so we are going to have an introduction by Sister Jacqueline of our guest that we're going to have today.
And thank you, Ms. Clyburn. And thank you, Ms. Johnson, for your kind words earlier. But, you know, today I'm introducing a gentleman, and I'm going to say an honorable father and a leader in the community. And when you hear from this gentleman, you will see why. There's so many great things. His name is Carlton D. Clyburn, Jr. He is a project manager and founder and CEO of Clyburn Services, a metropolitan Detroit-based company that provides strategy, marketing, and comprehensive business services. He is the former city council president, Mayor Pro Tem for the city of Highland Park in business in Highland Park, and is a lifelong learner who holds a master's degree in project management and a business administration marketing, as well as a bachelor's degree in engineering from Michigan Technological University, where he did an undergrad as a student athlete. Additionally, Carlton has professional certification as a life skill coach and career counseling coach. He is currently working on his certification as a project manager professional and as a licensed residential builder. Carlton brings a multitude of educational accomplishments, business development expertise, and community organization activism to the table. Welcome to the show, Honorable Carlton D. Clover.
All right, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right. Thank you for that. It's a pleasure. I appreciate you inviting me on, especially, you know, this special weekend of the Father's Day weekend. But you hit everything. You know, I don't even know what else to say. I could just expand upon what you said. You know, who is responsible? You know, we're responsible. You know, right now, it's for everything you're talking about is what we're working on. You know, years ago, I started my journey into service, and it was through the youth. Because, you know, we got to raise our babies. And right now I'm working on skill trades programs and out-of-school time deterrence to, like you say, let our babies know that there are careers available, there's training available, there's resources available to where you can build a good life without college debt, and it takes your time away from unproductive activities. Because that's, you know, youth violence is real, and we're almost desensitized with the loss of our babies. And that's a problem. That's a huge problem. You say, who's responsible? What are we going to do? You write it's block to block, but we need some really, really concentrated programs for our babies and for the baby's parents. Because when you talk about family, I'm fortunate to have been raised by good families, both my mother's side and my father's side. You know, my father's side was more paternal, and we were raised as men. My mother's side is maternal. They were strong women demanding you to be a man. So, you know, I do have a good balance, and I'm very fortunate, and I just appreciate my family. And it's all about service because I, you know, came up how I came up. It's my duty to give back. So right now it's all about the babies. My little intro, you got me in the space, Kathy, because everything you're talking about, you know, I've been on and I've been looking at these numbers of youth violence and how our babies, more specifically here in Detroit and just black urban communities, it's amazing. It's scary. And we sit back, I listen to the adults, I listen to the elders, and it's like, oh, these children. No, we got to huddle up. We got to huddle up.
That's
because
right.
We're fighting, you know what I mean? Like, what are we really fighting for if we're not getting our babies in position to take over? And we're not. We are failing. We're failing. And everything you're talking about, you're right on. Like, I want to take your transcript and just post it. Like, here, like really here, listen to this. What you're saying is so necessary. Like, I it's amazing. Like, I didn't know what I was going to start or what I was going to do, but just listening to you and listening to the other, you know, elders just talk. But what you're saying is so on point. And it's encouraging just to hear somebody else say it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I got kicked off, so I had to call back in and get reconnected. So sorry, cuz. This is my cousin. I am so proud of him. He works so, he's such a community person and such a dedicated family person. And, you know, it just, and he got it because it was passed down to him, you know. And so go ahead, cuz. Talk about, you know, yes. This is what we've been talking about for the last 2 years is giving the kids and the youth what they need to make it, because if we don't, we're going to be victims of not, you know, giving them what they need, and we're seeing some of that now, a lot of it. So, yeah.
It's a lot of it, and it starts with family. Just I don't know how much you heard or if when you fell off, if everybody fell off, I'm not sure, but, like, I'm going to tell you, like, I don't want to get heavy into politics, but politics got a lot to do with it. But just so I'm listening to people talk about what's going on in Florida with the senator that wants to ban the, you know, Black history or whatnot, right? And my thing is, that's an example of why family is so important. So, like, we're really depending on somebody else to teach our babies? Like, why we don't teach them? Why we don't send them to school already knowing or, you know, putting the time into really, because the history that they're going to teach them is what they want to teach them for their benefit. It's not for our benefit. So I look at this as an opportunity. Like, we need to, that need to be like a wake-up call. Like, we need to do a better job in the house teaching our children the history.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get it from a place of encouragement, love, you know, highlighting more successes than failures. You know, that's what is the highlight.
Every race teach their own children, teach their own, you know, kids and children what they want them to know. And I feel like we're the only ones that's not doing that.
We're not. We are absolutely not. We depend on everybody else to do what's right for our babies. And you know, we got to look in the mirror. We got to take responsibility. That's our responsibility. Them our babies.
Yeah. They're all ours. It don't matter if we birth them or not. They're all ours, and we need to all
be responsible.
They are
our babies.
Yes, they are. Anybody want to get into the conversation, press 1. Just letting them know ahead of time. Press 1 if you want to get into the conversation, if you have a question that you want to ask. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Compton.
Yeah, I would like to discuss.
Go ahead.
I'm going to talk about, so one of the things that's on the flyer is the executive director for the Highland Park Youth Advocacy Alliance. So I've been working with in youth programs heavy since 2009. At different capacities. And I was introduced through athletics. But the athletics are going to do what they do, and it's, but we got to focus more so on life skills and building up some of the things that we're missing. So when we look at career opportunities, let's more specifically skill trades, it's a lot, it's so many careers available. But when our babies go to get into these pre-apprenticeship programs or anything like that, and most of them are high school graduates, right? And they can't pass a basic math and reading test to get into a program. That's a problem. You know, so they come in, they throw these, we got workforce development, we got workforce development. But our baby's not even able to get into the workforce development programs because they're not able to pass those tests. They, you know, it's like just understanding how to be a responsible adult. So we need like a pre-workforce development program, and that's what I've been, you know, that's what I'm working on now. That's the programs we're working on, is like taking these babies first, exposing them to the different career opportunities, and then getting them prepared to go into them, and because it's a lot of these programs that get a lot of money, and they're failing because they can't get participants. because it's not being promoted. Like you talked about it, Kathy, it's like, you know, we're not sharing the resource, or the resources are not being shared like they should be. So we got to, you know, make more of an effort. So the program is called STAT, the Skill Trades Attitude Transitioning Program, and that's focusing on, it's a middle school, high school program, and it's also age 17 to 24. So the middle school, high school, we're introducing them to skill trades, careers, life skills, financial literacy, so they know, understand what money is, how to balance a check, but just all these different things that credit. But it's also about, hey, introduce them to, like, you could be a plumber. You could come out 19, 20 years old, be a plumber, make $65,000, and have that trade and that skill forever with no college debt. You know, it's those type of where we got to change the mindset of our babies and introduce them to them younger. And then for the 17 to 24-year-olds, we more so focusing on, like, high school dropouts, return of citizens, juvenile delinquent, giving them another opportunity, training them up, making sure, you know, if they need GEDs, if they need more academic support to get into these programs, because a lot of these programs are calling for and asking for that. Because you figure these babies are still only 18, 19, 20, and what did they really do? Yeah, they returned, they made some mistakes, but the mistakes off not being parented and not being raised and not being educated on different decision-making skills, you know, it's product of our environments.
Wow. So, okay, so how, because that is a problem. They can't even, like you said, they don't even know the basics of reading and writing. So how are we going to get them to that point to be able to go to the next step?
First of all, we have to accept. See, we got to acknowledge and accept that our babies can't read, write, and do math, even high school graduates. And we got to put programs in place, and we got to make it cool because, you know, they pride get in the way, and I get it. You know, they don't want to, you know, talk about it. They're embarrassed, but we got to pull them and like you say, hug on them and love them enough to say, listen, ain't nothing wrong with it. Like you're not alone, right? We got to build them up. And we got to just, like, hold their hands through it. It's got to be like, but that's that concentrated program, and that's us understanding that, okay, we got to make this popular. We got to introduce it as a community, and we got to hold each other's hands and walk through it. And if it's block by block, if it's the children that you work with, hey, let's introduce them to this, or just, you know, sharing the resources. Because there's a lot of resources out here because they are throwing money at it.
Okay.
But they just don't know how to engage the community and the people that really need it.
Wow. So that's a project in itself right there.
It's a huge project.
It is.
It's like, you know, we got to start at the base. Like, hey, y'all, we let's all agree that we in trouble, okay?
We in trouble, yes, we
are. Let's all agree, because if we not agreeing on that, then...
Right, we are in trouble, definitely.
We
do have to get to the heart of the people and, you know, just right dig down in the ditches and get in the community. We're going to have to do some street pavement and some bullhorn and just, you know, screaming it out. In the community and just kind of wake everybody up. We're sleeping right now. We are sound asleep. I would love to go to sleep, take a nap, for real. Just say, I don't even want to see what I see. I don't even want to see it.
But you can't unsee it now. You didn't saw it.
I can't.
And that's the issue. It's like I can't unknow this. I'm not happy about it, but it's like, you know what they say, ignorance is bliss. Knowing is a trick.
And since we had such, you know, good help when we were coming up,
right?
I mean, we were kind of pushed into it. Not pushed, but we were kind of like, okay, we know what we need to do to get where we need to get going, you know. So we did that for hours, you know. And so it's still going on. You're still going from generation to generation, and hopefully it won't, you know, it won't get stuck in the pipe anywhere, and it falls off. And so that old time and that just that pure love in the community and family has to just be acknowledged again and brought to the forefront, so people will understand that this is, like you said, it is a problem, that this is what we have to do for our kids.
But it's tough because, which is like, that's a mindset that I was raised under, but it's like we kind of far removed from that in our communities now. And and that's why your message, bring the family back. I look at family as the village, the block, because the block I was raised on, we all raised each other.
That's
right. We're not even dealing with each other anymore.
I was raised on a block of families with nothing but families, nothing but fathers and mothers and the kids. We all looked out for one another. And it was just nothing but love.
Yeah, because anytime, it's been so many times I've been places in other cities, state, whatever, like Clyburn, hey, the Allen Bell family. I said, yeah, them my people. They, it's like, yeah, they get this calling and all. Like, yeah, and it's just, and you know, same like so in Highland Park, like I saw on my mother's side, it's the same thing. It's like, oh, you know, so I got it from both sides.
Right.
And it's my duty to share.
Duty.
And I'm going to just do what I'm going to do everything that's put on me to do.
And
like you say, bullhorn, knock on doors, but I have a different skill set now that I've been through the electives and I'm sitting on the different boards. So I got a different set of eyes. I know some things that I'm putting into effect. So I'm going to be depending on you, Kat. I'm going to depend because the encouraging thing is you're not alone. There's other people in other areas that feel like you and think like you, so it's like we got to start connecting the dots. So, hey, what you doing over there that's working? Well, I'm doing X, Y, and Z, and I got these resources. Oh, well, I'm doing this, and I find this works, and I got X, Y, and Z resources there. Well, hey, let's share resources. Let's do it. And when we start doing that, that's how we start building. Like, we unfortunately, we already got time to change anybody's mind. We got to start looking for the people that understand and supporting each other like that. And then everybody else will kind of fall in line.
Right, yeah, once they see us working, once they see it working and the train get to moving, then they'll catch on.
To know
that it's important. It's so important to invest that time and that quality time in your babies while they're young. And show them the good things in life so that they can see some good things when they grow up. So as a father, your support system as a father, you had your father, your grandfather, and it just went down, and you have your sons. Tell us about that reality.
It's more than a blessing.
Yeah.
Because so coming up, like playing youth sports and things of that nature, like I share my father with so many people without even thinking about it because, again, I come from the paternal family where it was a bunch of strong men. How many great uncles do I have? I was fortunate enough to have time with all of them, especially like my grandfather. He passed when I was 6, but I don't know if you remember this, and this is a story I'm going to share. As a young boy in that family, it's like I can remember a time going to my granddaddy's house. And I have vivid memories of this. Uncle Ware lived across the street. Aunt Martha, Leon, people lived across the street. So I have vivid memories of the family coming over, the dog that took out. So, but I also remember all the little boys would get matched up by age, and we would have to fight each other. And then when we was done, it's like, all right, now y'all go eat, and like it's over. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it was like we, they would make a scrap, and then kiss and make up like this is what we do. But like all the boys do.
Okay. Oh, okay, okay. Yeah.
All the boys do. Like you talk to Toby, you talk to Lauren, you talk to Will, because they would match us up by age. Like, how old is little Carl? And how? Y'all got to get out there. I don't even for what like. And then I was 5, you know, but it's like, but it teaches so much. It's like, because when conflict arises, it's a whole nother. So now you prepare, like, it's like, oh, you know what I'm saying? Okay, I'm dealing with it. And I'm going to be all right. It's no emotion involved because I can't stay mad at him, because guess what? Now I got to go eat with him and we got to be friends and play. Or we going to get a whooping, you know, or something. I don't know what's going to happen if we don't. But they said, now y'all go play. We just fought.
Wow.
Y'all go play with each other. You try to hot dog, whatever was going on. Now y'all go play.
Well, that was some kind of conflict resolution.
It's over. And that's it.
Yeah.
So that's training, man. So being raised like that, and then having to raise children during this time, is so different. Because it's different. Like you got to give them so many kind of like crutches, and it's but now look at the product. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's been a challenge, and I'm doing my best. There's no handbook, as you would say, but all I do is put into him. My son, you know, he's 18 now. That's, you know, is that it's all about the decisions you make, period. Mm. Like, you know right from wrong, right? You know this, you got this. But your life is going to depend on the decisions that you make. And at any moment, your decision can cost you your life.
It can. Wow.
So you gotta think about the decisions you make.
Mm-hmm.
I can't live your life for you. Huh?
Right. So what do you think what did that do for you? What do you think that was all about, and what did it do for you? I saw it as a conflict. Yeah, I can see it as a conflict resolution thing where you guys can. Mm-hmm.
So as a man, you're going to get into some fights, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And being introduced to fighting early, you're able to do it. Like, I mean, it's like we go around looking for it, but, you know, it conflict is something else. You know, your heart rate, everything changes, but it's like it introduced us to it. But it also introduced us to you going to get into it with the people that you love, but them the people that you love, and this is who you got. So you still got to build.
Cool.
So tough it out, whatever you got to do. You going to scrap, but that's over with. When it's over with, and it's a part of getting your point across, because that's what men do.
Okay,
you know, I don't know what
I'm
it
like
is
that.
For your wife. You know, but as a man, that's, you know, that's what it is. Well, that's what it was. I don't know what it is nowadays.
Yeah.
Something completely
it's
different
rough.
Nowadays.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, it's like the roles have been reversed. You know, now our men are the women are the men. It's like, what's going on? And I ain't even talking about, like, the sexuality thing. I'm talking about the energy of it. Like, men being masculine and women being feminine, because that's the balance. That's the balance in life. So even in the mother situation, you still got to have some masculine, feminine energy. It's just who going to have it.
Yeah, you talked about That was cool. I like that. Mm-hmm. I think that might would work today with our youth, instead of them going and grabbing guns. You know, if you show them how to, you know, fight like that, you know, that we could still be friends afterwards. That could be some kind of program that could be instituted.
But that's what we would do. Mm-hmm. Like coming up, if you had a problem, you settled it by either talking or scrapping, and you keep it moving. It ain't like nowadays, it's like you get into somebody, I got to take them out because I don't want to go back. you know what I'm saying? Don't like they don't want to take a butt kicking no more. It's like, listen, mm-hmm. you messed up, you got beat up or not. And mm-hmm. you know, you kind of deserve it, not deserve, you know what I mean? And you just keep it moving. You dust yourself off, get in the gym, or don't fight no more. You know what I mean? If you can't mm-hmm. fight, you have to avoid fighting.
Right. Bring some candy to school.
You got to be a good talker or something. I don't know.
Right. Right. Bring some candy. Bring some apples, some fruit or something.
You know what I'm saying? And that's man's man.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to take it for granted so much, and I can't take it for granted anymore. You know, mm-hmm. you're talking about integrity. You're talking about a man standing on his word. These are the things I was taught, like being a junior and my father having a name he had because everybody looked up to my dad. Everybody, oh, crap. So I was extra careful about what I did because I didn't want to bring shame on my name. Because my
mm-hmm.
dad called me, your name. You got to pray, your name,
that's
your
right.
name, your name, your name, your name. It's mm-hmm. all about your name, mm-hmm. your word.
That's
and
right.
that's how I was raised and that's how I lived. And, so when I made decisions, I thought about that most of the time. You know, I was still a child. I still messed up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that was always in the back of my mind. And as I got older, it got louder.
Mm. Yeah, your dad's my favorite cousin. And, you know, back in the day, we always had somewhere to go. He was like one of my brothers because I love brothers, you know. Because
mm-hmm.
I like them. They're tall. I always wanted a lot of brothers, and I got a lot of brothers. And so he was like my brother, but he was like my favorite cousin. I used to go to his fire station every break I got, every chance I got in the summer, just sit up there and watch and wait for him to go do his fires and come back and just sit there and talk to him all day long. Mm-hmm. Sure did, yeah. So,
mm-hmm.
And good times. So, like, I know it's a lot of men that that take care of their families and that are good fathers, and it looks like it's not, you know. And it seems like we're so against one another, the woman and the man, and it seems like we're so against one another and that we can't get together, you know, and raise our kids in one accord. So what do you say about that?
I absolutely agree. And that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem because
so that's another thing that we're going to have to acknowledge.
That's a huge problem. That's
mm-hmm.
I mean, that
mm-hmm.
is the problem. Like, if man and woman can't communicate, oh,
mm-hmm.
man, we can't raise children because it took two of us to make the child. So it would take two of us to raise a child, even if it's through co-parents or whatever it is nowadays. But if woman and man can't communicate, which is where we're at, that's why we're in the conditions that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about, I'm going to go back and bring the family back no matter what,
mm-hmm.
how the family, whatever, it was like we worked together to make sure we was good. No matter what,
mm-hmm. no
and
matter
we're not
what,
doing that. We have been so far removed from that, so far removed,
mm-hmm.
and we're not talking about it enough. So we not.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. Like first, we got to even acknowledge and understand that that's a problem, or that's happening,
not.
Or like,
that's
hey, what it used to be, now it's not. What, you know, what do we do? Because that's huge.
Right. Anybody have any questions? You are welcome to ask a question, comment, press your one, and I will open up your mic. Just press one and get in the conversation. Everybody lined up listening, so press your one and have something to say. It's Father's Day weekend, and, you know, this is one of my favorite times of the year to acknowledge fathers. I love my brothers. I love all my cousins and men. A lot of my cousins, they got daughters and they're taking care of those girls like it's nothing.
Like it's
nothing. I love that. I love that about my cousins. and my nephews, all of them. Mm-hmm.
I want to give a little quick plug. We'll be at Palmer Park Sunday, and we'll also be celebrating my Uncle Joe's birthday, as always. So, yeah, it's going to be a good time. We do this every year, and, you know, we celebrate us and family and manhood. So you're available. We're going to start at, like, what, 1 o'clock or so. We'll be right there on Pontchartrain and Murrow Place.
Cool.
Yeah, good time.
Right, every year, real
Uncle,
man,
Uncle
real father.
Be what, 94 this year?
94.
And he's driving himself, y'all.
He's driving himself.
he's jumping out. He's the first Uncle truck.
Yes, yes, he is.
And he looks back like, get out, y'all, we already know.
He is always on the move.
Always.
When I'm riding through the city, I always see him riding somewhere. I was like, and he always
smiling
has a brand new truck.
Yeah, smiling. That's inspiration.
Yeah.
Like being a young man, seeing that kind of stuff and seeing it all my life.
Yeah,
like,
he is really yeah. enjoying and loving his life. He is. He is that one to have. All our uncles. And all our uncles have all been just so happy. They have been so happy and had such a good, I don't know what to say, just a good life. Happy, positive, strong military men, just family men, outgoing, loving and kind, and they represent men well. They represent men and fathers well, real men, real fathers. And they're a bunch of guys that just,
Yeah, great example.
Mm-hmm. Palmer Park tomorrow. Palmer Park Sunday, 1 o'clock, real men, real fathers tribute. Like you give every Sunday. And like I said, Uncle Joe's 94th birthday. We're going to have a big cake out there for him. And look forward to having a great time as always. Yep. We got somebody that wants to say something, huh? 7807. Hey, I think that's Miss Shania. Hello. Welcome to Bring Back the Family.
Hey, Aunt Kat. How are you?
Hello. Fine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good today. And hi, Carlton. How are you doing?
I'm good, cuz. How are you?
Doing good. Just have a lot of work to do this week, but still good. I did want to ask a question about the topic. So my question for you, Carlton, is social media is just, like, so accessible nowadays to our youth, like to teenagers and, you know, of course, adults and everything. So how do you think that we could just kind of, like, work on the impact of social media on the youth? You talk things about, like, you know, the violence going on, you know, such as like one-on-one fighting and walking away from it, or like the masculine and feminine error. I think a lot of that also has to do with the social media. So how can we just, like, limit that impact that social media has?
That is an awesome question. And listen, during our planning, I'm going to get to your question. During our planning, I'm going to be reaching out to you because those are the things that need to be addressed. So me answering your question, being like social media to me just kind of popped up. You know, I'm from the old school or whatever. So my thing is we have to have more involvement, more conversations, more programming on a personal level, because the social media is going to be social media, and that's something that they can run to. But if we occupy their time with programs and building and just other outlets, it can minimize it. It's tough to, because it's so accessible during school. They got their phones, they got the internet, they're going to be on it. But, like, if we take that out of school time and really put it to productive use, so a lot of the youth that we deal with in our youth program, we're dealing with year-round. So when they get out of school, they come into the program. So for 3-4 hours after school, they're involved. We get to, you know, the physical activity. We're talking to them, building them up. So it just need to be, in my opinion, more of that. More, hey, put your phone down. Let's engage you. But we have to engage them. We got to understand that that's a huge lift. And we got to understand the battle. Like, okay, we got to battle the social media. We got to battle that access. So let's make, we got to understand and make sure that we got to be interesting and find programs to occupy their time in a different way where we can really put more into them. And it's got to be concentrated. It's got to be like, it's got to be intentional. It's got to be intentional. Cause that's the fight. That's the battle. You nailed it. You're right. That's the battle. That's the fight. Real quick story. When my son, he was like 8 or 9, and I took him everywhere, right? He was in the car with me, like, and I had him involved in sports. He's been in sports since 5. And one day I was riding with a partner of mine. He's a DJ friend of mine. And he was listening to some new music, you know, because he's a DJ. So Cordell got in the car. He knew every word. I'm like, whoa. Like, how do you know this? He's like, well, Dad, they play it in the school. It's like, oh, shit, I'm hit. I mean, excuse me. Like, oh, I'm hit. It's like, I'm up at, like, so that made me understand that it's real. Like, I am intentional about what I'm bringing him around. Like, I got, like, y'all know how Cordell was when he was a baby. You couldn't even get him off my leg. So for him to get in that car and know every word to a song I never heard, it blew my mind. It blew my mind. I said, oh, we in trouble. I knew we in trouble because me and he had my dad. And all, so it's like we working. We battling right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to get him together. So it's like all this I put into him, and he's, you know, we up against it. I don't have an answer for you, Shania. You know, I got conversation like, let's put our hands together and figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen this, the trouble that we're having right now, I saw it way back when I was like 19 years old. I was like, because they were having children too early. I was like, oh, this is going to be a problem later.
So it's going to be a problem later, right?
I said, it's going to be a problem later. Yeah. And they start having these grandmas being early. I was like, oh, this is going to be a mess, you know. At a young age, I was thinking this, and I was like, oh, and I've been thinking it ever since. And I've been being pushed to do this show for so long. I have notes and notes and notes and notes and notebooks of things that I've been writing down for years, and I was just too afraid to do this. And so wish I had to do it a long time ago. And here we are with, you know, if we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. So
yeah,
here.
Absolutely.
In full force, yeah. Yeah.
That was a
because,
great question, Shania. Ooh, Shania, that's good. That's great. That was a great question.
That's that generation because she's in the mix of it. Yeah, she's in the
she
mix
cares.
Of it. So we, yeah.
I mean, she's conscious. So, that's good.
Yeah. And we need her.
I know
her,
I know her parents.
Her.
Look, I know her parents.
Right. Yeah, she ready. And that's what it's about, putting them out there and making sure they're ready to be able to go wherever they need to go and have what they need to make it once they get out there. Yeah. And that's it. And so her parents did do just that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where we are. We try to help the rest of these kids that we see right in front of us that's struggling and that we know that we need to get busy. So I like, you know, what you were saying about the program. Did you say it was STAT? STAT.
Yep, STAT. I'm gonna email it to you.
Okay,
I'm
good deal.
So you can really look at it. You're gonna move like, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're gonna make sure we get it out here. And
right,
you know,
that's
right,
business.
But in the beginning, mm-hmm. it's all about planning. Like we doing the research, and we need young minds in the room, like Shania mm-hmm. and her peers, because they're closer
right.
to it than more. And like Shania, she got it good because she really this generation, but she got, you know, saying that good home training too.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's important. That's huge.
Yes, it is.
That's
it
huge,
is.
You know. Yeah.
Shania, you have another question?
not at the moment, but, yeah, I definitely agree with you, Carlton, when you said, just grabbing their attention. So I learned at work and just, a little bit in school, too, our attention spans are getting shorter and shorter by the day, to be honest. So it starts, so young to where we can elongate that attention span like it used to be, because it's just going to keep getting shorter. You know, ads are, 30 seconds now. They're going to go to 20 seconds, 10 seconds, because people, we're getting impatient with things. So I definitely agree with,
mm-hmm.
getting their attention early and grabbing onto their attention. Do things that will keep them occupied, will keep them, busy and everything that they're interested in. And, you know, as well as, having their best interest at heart, because kids can really, tell when you have their best interest at heart, and
yeah,
they'll put all of their energy into
yeah.
it, when you
yeah.
know, when they know that. So it's as long as we're doing that for them, and we built that trust with the youth, I feel like we'll be in a really good spot, but definitely a good point.
And you're right, and they know. They know when you're coming from a place of BS or love. They got it. They know. But what happens is if they get older, they forget because, you know, other things set in. That innocence go away and they're detached from. But you're right. Children know. And they react off of it. And we building them and we got to pay more attention. We got to pay more attention.
They're paying attention to us, that's for
they
sure.
They're paying attention to us.
Yes, they are. Oh, boy. And some of them can run rings around you and just kind of ooh, even the babies are smart. They just they're getting you. Yeah, I got a little two-year-old just bossing me around, pushing me around, jumping on my back and just beating me up all the time. I said, I'm going to call the senior abuse on you. I'm gonna call protective services on myself because
I'm calling people on you.
You're tearing me apart. I'm like, okay, whoa, I gotta have to go find me a big old king switch. That's the only thing he's scared of. But I tell you, he is just wearing me down. Just about to. I'm like, man, I'm being abused. Yes, sir.
Elder abuse. That's real.
Yeah. Uh-huh, it is. A two-year-old elder abuse. That's what I call the people.
So, Tim, I got to get ready to shoot out.
Good deal.
I'd love to build with you more on that.
I'm
going to send you the program. And then we can talk more about it. We could definitely talk more about it.
This is perfect. This is a lot because this will put our kids in business. They can work
in
business
without debt.
Yeah.
Without debt. And,
mm-hmm.
and they're begging for it. I mean, it's so
mm-hmm.
much. The skilled trades are aging out. It's a high demand. You can write your own ticket. You can work for somebody, you can work for a union, or you can work for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
whatever
right.
it is you want to do, you can make good money. Because it's a trade, can't nobody take it from you.
Wow. Yeah,
and
we have to get out there. You know, there's not too many more Uncle Money's out there that's just taking you with them and showing you all the ins and out of every kind of plumbing and electricity and all that. You know?
They aging out. So all the
yeah.
skills. I got some elder skills tradesmen. It's they've been begging, man, I got all
mm-hmm.
this knowledge, and I don't have nobody to give it to.
I got all this knowledge
with nobody to give it to.
Yeah. Wow.
They say, I'll pay somebody They told me they'll pay somebody $30-$35 an hour just to carry their tools.
Just to roll with them,
yes.
Wow. Okay, well, I got some kids for you.
Well, I'm going to need them. I'm going to need them.
Good deal.
We about to get this going. It's real.
I'm excited about this. Yeah, this could be a big push. Yeah, to get our kids working and knowing what they could do. Come back on the show again, Carlton. This was very good. Yeah. A lot of knowledge, a lot of information, and this is what Bring Back the Family is about, everything that you brought to the table today. And we just appreciate you. Yeah. Stay
well,
on.
I love you. I love you, Shania.
Too.
I'm so super proud of you, baby. I'm so
super proud.
Man, but I knew it. It's not surprising. You always have us part. You know you go as far as you want to go. And that's it.
That's right.
I'm here for you.
She done spread her wings. That's what I love, kids, to just get lost. Go away.
You.
Get lost so we could come and visit you. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Love it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, happy Father's Day. We'll see you on Sunday. I know you got to go, but stay tuned in so you can listen to the end of and come back again. We're going to welcome you back. Thanks. Okay. Happy Father's Day. Love you. Love you.
Love you too. All right.
Okay. Thanks. All right. Hey. Beautiful. Beautiful. Everybody's kind of quiet today. Get our pastor on here and see what he could tell us about today. Hey, Pastor O, are you on the show? Well, press one. Let me see. Press one when you're ready, Pastor O. That was just a lot of good information. Really enjoyed that. Made my heart glad. Just ready to know that, you know, we have somebody out there that we can partner with and work with and get this thing going. We got resources and all that. Hey, Awesome O.
Hey, what's up this evening?
Oh, it's all good. How are you?
I am good. It was a good show and enjoyed the guests. I'm telling you, he hit the nail right on the head when he said that we have a responsibility, and he gave us our report card. We have failed, and we have. We've failed. We've failed this generation coming up, and, you know, he had so many good things to say, and I love his passion about calling us, putting that sense of urgency in the way that he was speaking that. We have to do something, and we have to do something now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the practical example that you give of what you're doing with Cat's Kids, that it is not a miracle. It is just a will to do. It is seeing what's needed and doing it. You know what I mean? You don't have to be super this or that. You just have to be willing to see the need and do something about it. Rather than just see it. And, you know, when I was listening to him, and that just stuck with me because that was the verdict right there. We failed this next generation. And I hear you talk about it. I hear Jackie talk about it. I heard Mother Pierce talk about it. Rebecca mentions it. Tania really came up with something about how do we address this social media influence and how do we, you know, put an interdict in on that, you know? And when I heard the verdict, I said, wow, these are, we've allowed, you know, there came a generation that did not know God. And that happened in the book of Judges. This is when they came into the promised land and they received, this is the second generation, third, fourth generation. They received the promises of God. They are in the land. They are living in the land. But something happened between the death of Joshua and a few years going by that they managed to raise a generation of kids that did not know God. And just like you saw so many years ago And it was talk all over the community. Everybody was just looking at it and saying, these mothers are getting younger and younger, and these grandmothers are now in their 30s. You know what I mean? Grandmothers are getting younger and younger. And everybody saw it, but, you know, we didn't quite know what to make of it. And so everybody just got involved in it. But we just have failed miserably at giving our kids what was given to us. And that generation, it just reminds me of when we came out of the South to the North looking for prosperity, and we found it. But somewhere along the way, we forgot to tell our kids about the struggle, and not just the struggle, but how we got over. We sing songs about it, but we don't sing those songs of how we got over no more. We sing songs about how we going to get over, or how God going to get us, you know, get us some more stuff and places to go, things to do, stuff to have, and all that kind of thing. Okay, but, you know, and I love this passage in the Psalms because it gives an answer to the verdict. The verdict is true, and we all have to admit we've dropped the ball. We don't care anymore. Okay, not as much as we used to or should. And in an effort to make our kids' lives better, and in some ways we did that. They have, for the most part, they have clothes, they have food, they have a home. They even get a ride to school, whereas we walk. You know what I mean? They have all of these things. We have made their life better. Okay, Christmas now, you almost need a loan to participate in that. And Lord help, if you got more than two kids, you're really in trouble. Okay, because everything is over $100 for what they want. Okay? So we have made their lives better, but what we left out was God. We gave them the one side, but not the other. And that is the problem that we're facing today. We don't prepare our children to, you know, I was listening, and as the guest said, when he got in the car with his friend and his son knew every single word to that song, and he knew he didn't teach him that.
Right.
The culture took care of that. So here's the thing. Prepare your children so when they hear things like that, they know how to respond to it. They know the verbiage. You know, they know what God says versus what the culture is saying in a song. And so they know how to respond to it. They know that some of the things that's being mentioned in this song are not for me. The beat is banging, but the words, they're leading me somewhere that God does not want me to go. So they need, the only way they can be prepared to meet that challenge is to have the word of God taught to them. That's why it says train them up. Train them up so that when they're older and they start experiencing life, and today 7 years could be older, then they start experiencing things that we never would have experienced. But they're trained up. And the word of God supports that. It says in Psalm chapter, well, it's the 119th Psalm. They're really not chapters. They're in like five different divisions. But in this division of Psalm, it says under the Hebrew alphabet, Beth. And I want to thank Nicole Seabrooks for teaching me that, because as many times as I read these Psalms, I had no idea that was the Hebrew alphabet. Lord, you learn something new every day. That's why it's good to not be the only teacher in your church. Okay, it says, how can a young person stay pure? Now, that word pure is not like the purity rings that people were running around wearing one time and pledging to stay pure. It's not that kind of, it means how can a young person stay loyal to God? How can a young person stay in relationship with the Lord? How can a young person stay under the leadership of the Lord? By obeying your word. So if we continue doing what we're doing to make our children's lives better, but we equip them to be able to battle the culture when they're not with us, as the guest said, his son didn't learn that stuff at home. But he learned it, and he was, and I'm glad that the young man feels like he can be completely open with his father, because from what I heard, he didn't hesitate to tell him where he got
mm-hmm.
that.
That's right.
He shared that with him, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how can a young man stay pure? By obeying the word. So that means we have to not only give them nice things in life and, you know, give them a better life than we had. You know, we say that. But we need to give them the word of God. He says, I've tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So if the word is hidden in your heart, then when the opportunity to sin comes up, like if Adam and Eve had hidden the word of God and kept it in their heart, when the devil showed up, they could have spoke the word to him. Or at least they would know the difference. They would see, wow, this is from the culture. The culture is telling me to do this. And, of course, our flesh is going to agree with the culture because this is where we live. This is all we know. But the word of God, it says, if it's hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, that means it can challenge you. It can challenge your thoughts. It can guide you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you've given us. I've rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. When we give them, when we train them up in the way that they should go, when another way that they should not go shows up, they at least know which way to go. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to always choose the right way, but at least they'll know they're going the wrong way. When the prodigal son got far enough away from his father's house, when the father, he got far enough from the way he was taught to live, he came to his senses. It's a good thing he had some senses to come to. And so our children might stray off, and they might stray away, okay? But if you put something in them, then that word planted inside them will help them when they're out here in the world battling everything. Like Shania, she hit the nail on the head. I mean, our kids, we let them do social media from, what, age 6 or 7? And they're already into it, and so they're experiencing a whole lot of things that they are in no way, shape, or form prepared for. They halfway don't know how to communicate to one another. I mean, and if you listen to some of them talk, it's like every other word is just dropped out of the sentence. It's unbelievable. It's trying, like, what, a lot of times what you hear is people trying to fit a rap fantasy into their real life because that's all they know. That's their education. And so I was, I was really refreshed by the guest to hear somebody that passionate. And Shania, she just really blows me away, you know, and young Rivron, you know, they just really blow me away. Because they're God's way of saying, hey, everybody, all of them not crazy. Some of them are calling their peers to account. Some of them are showing their peers another way just by living a different way. Mm-hmm. Not modeling the culture, but modeling the word of God in the culture. That's why the Lord give us these jobs and give us this education so he could do us like he did Joseph, take us somewhere and show people how to live. Show them how to do things. Like you say, be that reason somebody smiles today, especially if they know you're a Christian. Put a smile on their face. You know, this is what folks,
make them want it.
Make them want it. Make them want it. Make them want it. You know, Tony Evans' father did it. I was impressed with that he got saved, but his wife wasn't. And so he lived the life in front of her and would not let her make him lose his joy. And she wanted, she literally said, I want what you have, because she knew him. And she knew he was different and he was at peace, and she got it. And look what we got, Tony Evans, Priscilla, and the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, so train them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. And we all have an obligation, like you said, these are our children, even though we did not birth them.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we didn't bring them into the world, but we have a responsibility to do whatever it is we can to participate in helping them to become a better citizen, especially a better kingdom citizen. If we would just do that.
Mm-hmm.
If we could get Bible classes going in the home like we got them in the church, oh, boy, then you'll see change then. When fathers start becoming the pastors in their homes, when fathers start pastoring their children,
mm-hmm.
Then you'll see something then. Then you'll see change. You'll see children who are proud of their fathers. You'll see children who want to be like their fathers.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see something then. You know, preachers got like 15 closes, but I want you to this is my real close
well,
right
take
here.
Your time. Take your time, preacher.
Oh, boy. Okay. This is my real close. This is the Lord talking to the children of Israel. They've come out. They've come through the seven-year judgment God pronounced on Babylon, and they're out of captivity. They have repatriated Jerusalem. They've rebuilt the temple. They've rebuilt the wall. They've rededicated everything, and they're back to the services. And then they started dropping the ball. So the book of Malachi is the last book that you read in the Old Testament. It's because this is when God did not speak to them again for 400 years, okay? And, of course, we know what happened throughout the intertestamental period. But at this time, they had a big problem in their society, in their culture. And the Lord gave them a remedy for it. And the remedy that he gave to them is the same remedy he has for us today. Now, this first verse I'm going to read is when John the Baptist will come, just before Jesus. He'll be the forerunner of Jesus, being 6 months older than Jesus, being Jesus' cousin. Okay? But this first verse, it says, look, I'm sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. Now, you'll remember when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and came on the way down, his disciples said, why do the Pharisees say that Elijah must first come? And Jesus said, well, Elijah did come, but it wasn't Elijah, it was John the Baptist. He would be somebody like Elijah, somebody crying in the wilderness, make straight the pathways of the Lord, like, you know, Elijah had to deal with Jezebel and Ahab. So it was a time like that. And so it was just like that when John the Baptist started, okay? And then he says this, and this is what I want folks to hear.
Mm-hmm.
His preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children,
mm-hmm.
and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. And so that's what needs to happen today. Fathers need to start being fathers again. Men need to start being men again. And when men start to be men again, and when fathers turn their hearts back to their children and become more concerned about raising a kingdom kid, okay, or at least a productive kid, then the hearts that have been the natural response to that, God says that the preaching will turn the fathers' hearts back to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Nothing else. He said the preaching is going to do that. And so if fathers would take up the word of God and start pastoring in their own homes again, start being the head that God called them to be, that means leading your family to church, not sending your family to church. That's why the church filled up with women, married women, single women who can't find a husband because men don't go to church. They're not present. And so he says, the preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come, strike the land with a curse. And that is what the guest was saying, that we're guilty of that. We're not doing this, and we got to get busy. Like the song you always play at the end of the show, I got work to do. We got work to do.
We got work to do. Well, this gives me more energy and more encouragement to keep on rolling. So, until the end, because we have to bring it back. We have to bring back the family, one way or another.
Right, and the fact that the Lord gave you bring back the family says the family is not where it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you are so, you hit the nail so on the head when you started saying these, having these babies too early. They're having them way too early, and they don't really want babies. They want each other, but then they have the baby and don't want each other, and then they got the baby, and then we got a real, what we got, we have what we have today. But you know, the word repent, it's simply a 180-degree turn out of phase. If you're facing north, you'll be facing south. Start, if north is where the trouble is, then start walking south where the peace is. And
wow.
Just that simple. We can always turn around, and the Lord will pick us up like nothing ever happened and just start walking with us forward for the rest of our lives. He won't even want to discuss the past. He'll just say, let's go forward. Let's learn from that. So we might have to teach somebody else along the way. But we're going forward from that. And that's the message that need to go out, that we messed it up. And your guest was, he was so right. Jesus was like, say that, son. And he was so right. We dropped the ball, and we are guilty. And we want to blame somebody else for this, but ain't nobody to blame. And like he kept saying, we want somebody else to come fix this, but no, we did this.
Yep.
There's nobody come in our neighborhood and turn it into this. We did this. Didn't nobody come in our neighborhood and said, hey, why don't you have 72% of your families, African Americans, be led by single parents? Nobody told us to do that. We did that. So why should we expect somebody outside of us to fix that? And that thing is not just in the black community. It's in every community. Same thing. I don't care what color you pick or what nationality you pick, they're suffering the same thing. The only difference is African Americans tend to not get the medical care, and a whole lot of other things that other folks do get. And so, you know, but back in the day when families would come together and make it happen, they would come together and make it happen. I mean, in the Amish.
He was poor, you didn't know it.
I didn't know it until I was grown. We didn't have a lot. I thought we had everything.
Yes.
You know, because we had family. We had family, we had friends, we had neighborhood, we had community.
Everything. Yes, we did. Love. Just some good old down home love.
That's what we had, and we gave it up for stuff and places and jobs and more bigger houses and money, and then we just lost sight, and here we are. But like I say, like the Lord say, the preaching is going to turn the father's hearts back to the right place, the children. And then, the children going to turn to the fathers, and there'll be no curse in the land. But if we don't do that, then, like you say, it's going to come true. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy that you keep saying. If we don't help our children today, we are already victims of having not helped them in the past.
Right now.
Right now. All this stuff that we're going through, right now.
Right now. Right here, right now.
But I'm glad to be a part of that cry in the wilderness, make straight the pathways of the Lord, return to the Lord while you have a chance, while you still can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Once again, you've done it again. Put the icing on the cake.
So fantastic.
Buttercream icing. Buttercream icing.
That good icing.
Yes, that's the best. Yes, sir.
I know, like we used to have that Shearer's Bakery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know about that whipped cream stuff, man. It's not cake.
No, it's not.
That's not cake. Well, thank you once again. Thank everybody for today. It was just a good open the eyes more lesson today. And so at least we know we have something that we can look at as far as resources with skilled trades. And we don't have to jump on that like rain and get on it. And like you said, we have to sit down and acknowledge that we have a problem. And with our youth not being able to read and write and those basic things that they need just to get them to the point where we need to get them, yeah, so... that's something. So we're going to help the ones that we can help, and the ones that want to help, and some more, and get this thing done. Yeah, move that train right along. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Pastor. Any other announcements you need to make?
Well, we got a service tomorrow morning starts at 9:00, and the worship follows at 10:00. And then on Sunday, we'll be celebrating Father's Day. Assistant Pastor Johnson Tate will bring the word, and looking forward to Monday. We'll be talking about a perfect kingdom in the Monday 6:00 Bible class.
Good deal. If you don't have a church to go to, then come on out to River Ridge High School with Running for Christ Ministries. River Ridge High School, 10:00 service, 9:00 Sunday school. You are welcome to come. Bring the kids. Let me see. Just wanted to continue to pray for Gwendolyn Cooper and the Cooper family in River Ridge. They're going to have that funeral service for Clinton Cooper tomorrow, 10:30 family hour, 11:00 funeral service at River Ridge High School. So we're going to keep them in prayer. Love that guy. Okay. So that's it. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in and listening. And we will be back next week. Can't remember what we're going to be doing, but I think we're going to do part two of, what was it that we talked about last week? Scratching my head. This little 2-year-old got me crazy. Okay, well, anyway, we'll be... Huh? What was it?
Sudden death.
Say it again.
Part two of sudden death.
Oh, sudden death. That's right. Sudden death. We're going to do that next Friday, same time. Same place. And like we said, the church service, you can tune in the same phone number, call in for the service tomorrow, and be in person on Sunday at River Ridge High School. Okay. So thank you, Sister Rebecca. Thank you, Sister Jacqueline. As always, thank you, Pastor O. Awesome. And everybody have a great evening. Happy Father's Day, Pastor O, and all the fathers all around the world. Let me put my glasses on. Okay. Happy Father's Day, fathers all around the world.
the man at my house, he's so big and strong. He goes to work each day, he stays all day long. He comes home each night, looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile, when he says to me, how's my child? I said that I've been studying hard all day in school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man father.
Color him
father. I think I'll color him love.
Color him love.
Then I'm gonna color him father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color the man love. Yes, I will.
Color him love.
He says education is the thing if you want to compete. Because without it, son, life ain't very sweet. I love this man, and I don't know why. Except I'll need his strength until the day that I die. My mother loves him, and I can tell by the way she looks at him when he holds my little sister Nell. I heard her say just the other day that if it hadn't have been for him, she couldn't have found her way. I think I'll color him father.
Color him father.
I'm gonna color him love.
Color him love.
I've got to color him father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color this man love.
Color him love.
Our real old man, he got killed in the war. And she knows she and seven kids couldn't have gotten very far. She said she thought that she could never love again. And then there he stood with that big wide grin. He married my mother and he took us in. And now we belong to the man with that big wide grin. I've got to color this man father.
Color him father.
I'm going to color him love.
Color him love.
I've got to color him father.
Color him father.
I believe I'll color this man love. Each day he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile, when he says to me, how's my child? I said that I've been studying hard all day in school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man father. The man love, yes I will.
Color him father.
He says education is the thing if you want to compete. Because without it, son, life ain't very sweet. I love this man and I don't know why. Except I'll need his strength until the day that I die. My mother loves him and I can tell by the way she looks at him when he holds my little sister Nell. I heard her say just the other day that if it hadn't have been for him, she couldn't have found her way. I think I'll color him father.
Color him father.
I'm gonna color him love.
Color him love.
I've got to color him father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color this man love.
Color him love.
the war. And she knows she and seven kids couldn't have gotten very far. She says she thought that she could never love again. And then there he stood with that big wide grin. He married my mother and he took us in. And now we belong to the man with that big wide grin. I've got to color this man's father.
Color him father.